Everything is better with chocolate, even this podcast. My name's Ty Erickson, and I'll be your host of the Private Label Chocolate Podcast. This is episode 5 of the Private Label Chocolate Podcast. Today we have guest Cade Janes on, which is a good friend of mine. He's also a life coach and a business owner. We cover a myriad of topics from masculinity all the way to how to organize and win your day, month, and year. So let's go ahead and get him on. Cade, welcome to the Private Label Chocolate Podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's good morning.
Good. Good to have you on. It sounded like you were eating some cereal, so apparently everybody should know it's we're recording this in the morning, right?
Yeah, it is definitely the morning.
And you could probably tell it in our voices. So what I'd like to do, Cade, well, first of all, thanks for joining us. Glad to have you on. This is going to be an awesome topic that I know is going to add a lot of value to people. And I know, obviously, from our friendship that I know how much personally you can add value to people. So this will definitely be a good episode. I'm excited about it.
Yeah,
tell me as we, before we jump into this, and I always preface it, just so people know where you're coming from and a little bit about who you are. Obviously, we're in the day of social media and everything else. I'm sure someone can Google you or get on any social format and get a closer look, or if somebody's really tempted to know what you look like, if they don't already, I'm sure they can jump online. But if you will, tell us a little bit more about you, based on the podcast, your professional background, what you're currently up to, and then we'll jump in. I'll kind of jump in beyond that into some other deep dive areas.
Yeah, absolutely. So my wife and I actually grew up in a small town in southern Utah. My professional background, I got degrees in social work and educational psychology, which led me into a handful of different jobs working mostly with teenagers.
Yeah.
Troubled teenagers. And then I was hired to teach seminaries and institutes for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for a decade. I did that for 10 years down in Arizona. And had the opportunity to work with, again, high school age kids, college age kids. Following that, I helped open a pretty large charter school down in Gilbert, Arizona, and was an administrator there and helped get that off the ground. After that, I stepped into the coaching and consulting world and started my own consulting firm called Listener Consulting, where I'm certified as an Ogmandino coach and have the ability to help people see underlying thought patterns that drive habits for good or for worse. So spent a year doing that, built up a client load and kind of a reputation, didn't plan on it, but I've ended up working with couples, which was something I originally said I would not do. But then I found that I was spending a lot of time with couples and it's been really, really rewarding. It means so much when you help a mom and a dad connect in a healthy way, a husband.
Yeah.
Because it just obviously bleeds down into, you know, the kids at home. So
right.
Couples have been married 30 years and couples have been married with 4 years. So that's been super rewarding. Most recently, I've had an opportunity to join the Kingdom Organizer Company and at a pretty early stage. And what it's allowing me to do is a lot of things professionally I've never done before on a larger scale. And the company's focus is helping people kind of overcome perceived limitations they have by bringing order and by magnifying their kingdoms. And when we say kingdoms, that means the relationships that we have, and just putting boundaries around those and also identifying that we can move people in and out of kingdoms based on the expectations they have and that we have. So that's been really rewarding. And that's kind of where we're at right now. Some questions that I like that you put on our outline for today is, what value do you bring to your business? I'm being known now kind of as the question guy. I love inspired questions. I love asking things in a way that opens doors and lets people see and learn. So that's my, I can also take large amounts of information and then put it into bumper sticker size statements or questions. That's kind of my thing. I'm realizing also what I'm not good at, which has been really, it's kind of, you know, one of the biggest things I've learned. When you realize what you're not good at, it's quite powerful to let those things go and trust other people who are good at those things.
Well, and I don't know if you're like me, but it kind of seems earlier on in my career, I felt like I had to be everything to everybody. And maybe that's just part of being in your 20s. But that's why I put that question on there, is because I've been able to kind of diagnose, and I feel like I've been more effective in my career and in my businesses now, because I can target, hey, here's my strengths. And then I can double down on my strengths and not worry so much about my weaknesses. So I'm always, I have that question on there because I'm always curious, like, what are your strengths? Yep. And then hoping that that kind of sparks something in somebody else that's listening, that's kind of going, oh yeah, maybe that's a strength, or allowing them to question themselves of, what value do I bring to my business? Absolutely. And maybe they look at it and they go, crap, maybe I'm not in the right space because I don't add any value to my business, you know?
Well, you think about how many people take a job just because it makes money versus taking a job because it allows them to use their strengths.
Well, and a lot of people, and that's what's so odd about this. I mean, I never thought I'd be in the chocolate business, but I look at it and I go, well, it makes sense why I'm at where I'm at right now, because I'm at where I'm at because of the value that I bring, not because I'm great at chocolate or great at this or that. It's the value that I saw I could bring to the business. That's literally why I'm here. I mean,
I've thought a lot about this. There's a difference, and there's a fine line between, you know, we all do things we're good at because it validates us. And so the problem can be is now the need to be validated drives the decisions we make. So, you know, in the teaching world, I saw that a lot, that people will teach because they love the kids validating them, but that can get, that crosses a line now where you need to do what you do. You don't want to do what you do. Does that make sense? It's because it's from a place of need. And the problem is the moment you cross that line, you lose your power. You really do. You lose your effectiveness and you're no longer really genuine. It's kind of, it's easy to justify that and it's hard to identify it.
Yep. No, I agree with that 100%. I would say in my career, the best decisions that I've made are the ones that I've walked away from an opportunity, regardless how big it is, being clear that, hey, I don't bring value to this situation. And what it's actually done is open up doors that I, you know, it's cliche, but I never thought I'd walk into. But because I've been clear of like, hey, I can't add value here, it's opened up other great opportunities for me by just being clear with that.
That's such a good thought, dude. Some of the greatest decisions we make is when we choose to walk away.
Yeah. So continuing on the same line that we're on, what about, and I actually am releasing an email, funny enough, about mentors to some of my clients, but do you have any business mentors? Do you have anybody that you look up to? Is there like examples that you can kind of say, okay, this is what I'm gearing towards? And then along that same line, book recommendations, resources for people, and then just anything else that you'd recommend or refer that people should plug into to maybe gain more insight in their life, business.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the smartest decisions I made when I got into business is I started to just keep my eyes open to people who have really specific strengths.
Yep.
And I just network and interact with them on purpose. Just like you choose, you know, your five closest, you know, show me your five closest friends, I'll show you your future. So if you become intentional about your friends, you become intentional about your future. Well, I realized that with business. So I have mentors that go from age 70 down to 26. I just barely left a meeting with a kid that's 26 years old, but I could tell he has some pretty amazing strengths. He was just named the CEO of a decent sized financial firm because of that. So I asked him to coach me. It was funny to watch his face when I asked that, and that my payment was I took him to lunch once a week and then just asked him questions.
Yeah.
So I found there's definitely a plethora of mentors, and just like picking what show you want to watch, there's so many shows. Just keep your sensors up And I'm identifying people that have strengths I don't have, and then I purposely reach out to them. So the best business mentor is the one who's not going to just pat you on the back and say good with your strengths. It's the one who's probably has strengths you don't have.
Yeah.
Just listen. So my mentors, there's a ton of them, but that I'd say the principle of how to find a mentor is what I would share. And then as far as books go, there's two right now. One I'm really excited to start. One I'm already in. I'm reading Atomic Habits right now.
Oh yeah.
And that one is really amazing. And it goes right along with what we're doing with our company too, is helping people identify their habits.
Yep.
And create good ones, not just good ones, but productive, healthy, balanced ones. So I'm reading Atomic Habits. And then the one that now 20 people have recommended that I'm going to go buy today is Good to Great.
Yeah, that's a classic. I actually need to go back and read that again.
Yeah, that's one that I again, like 20 people recommended it, and I'm going to go buy it today, actually. So as far as like resources and people I would refer, it's one thing that's hard in business. If you're starting a business, there are literally a million different options of people you can use to help you in your business.
Yeah.
So what we're doing right now is we get the Kingdom Organizer going. There's a huge opportunity with this company, and our founders being really, really intentional about the people's motives and their heart even more than their capacity. And right now that is paying off.
Yeah, I like that.
You want people who have the same core but different personalities.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I don't know what that means, but I'll give you an example. One of my best friends in Arizona, our personalities are opposite, but our cores are the same.
Yeah.
So we're the perfect work couple because, you know, he again, his personality is the opposite of mine, but our core is the same. So that's what you want to look for as you're building and creating, is find people with the same core. And if at all possible, with different personalities, because then you'll be really good counterparts.
So when you say core, do you think that falls in line with intent?
That's exactly what it is. What's your motive? Okay. What's your why? When the why is the same in individuals, it doesn't matter how different the personalities are.
Yeah, because I've kind of found that theme in my life, especially in business now, is just like you said, if you have different tools, different skill set, as long as the intent is right, and I even look at this as a team or employees, or people that I do business with, as long as your intent is good, we can take care of the rest. We can teach you, you know, what you need to know. And not that I have all the answers, but you look at it and you kind of go, look, we can develop a plan and get to where we need to go because we both have the same intent and we both have good intent. And it kind of seems like once you have that established, everything else can fall into place.
That folds right into our next category about what I'm doing with my company, what I'm as a coach. That's exactly what happens when we sit down with a couple. When I sit down with a couple and I ask them to identify their why or their purpose, sadly, many times they don't even know how to word it. They haven't clarified it. So once that gets clear, a couple things can happen. One, you can see if the couple even should be together. And two, when they do realize that they're both on the same page, holy cow, it changes arguments and changes, you know, because it's like, wait, we're on the same team, remember? And it's like, oh yeah, we're just looking at this thing differently. It can get to a point in a marriage or in a company where you're almost excited when a disagreement comes up, because you know that at the end of the conversation, you're both who are going to learn from it and be stronger because of it. So you almost sometimes when opposition pops up.
Yeah.
And that's what I did with coaching. And that's what the Kingdom Organizer does, is it focuses on people's kingdoms, with the first kingdom being your connection with the higher power or divinity in your life, or God, whatever you call it.
Right.
You get that aligned in somebody, and then they go to, you know, interact with their families or their friends or associates. That alignment up front and just getting that motive clear within yourself, well, you know this, it affects every other relationship when that's clear.
For sure. So tell me real quick, and we'll jump right into that. But before we go completely off topic, maybe decipher, it's funny because that I find areas in my life where I kind of brush over stuff. I'm like, oh no, everybody understands that. It's common sense. Everybody knows that. But what I'm finding out more and more is I'm like, no, that's my ignorance. Not everybody understands. And it may be common sense, but it's not common knowledge. As far as being a life coach, to a lot of people, it may be the same as being a psychologist, a counselor, whatever it is. Tell me, what does that mean to be a life coach, maybe as opposed to a counselor or a psychologist?
Yeah, that's a good question. So my schooling was actually, I got a degree in social work and a master's in psychology. And for that to become a profession where you have that as a title, then after your schooling, there's required hours that have to be done and licensing tests that have to happen. And so that's the only way you can say that you're a psychologist or even a licensed social worker, is you have to pass and take those tests and fulfill those requirements. And when you do that, that gives you the ability to do different things, obviously. You can get to a point where even prescribing medication if you do enough of those tests and do enough hours, similar to a doctor. But the life coach, honestly, anybody could be a life coach. The sad thing that's happening is a lot of people who aren't good at life have decided to be life coaches. And so
Everybody's an expert on life.
everybody's an expert. And we all know how that goes. You walk in a room and the loudest, most obnoxious dude that his family can't stand him is the dude who's trying to give you marriage advice.
Correct.
So that's one of the things with life coach. It's been saturated by that. People who don't have really great lives that want to tell their people how to have a good life. So the thing with life coaching is it doesn't require, you can tell someone you're a coach and it doesn't require the licensing and things that a psychiatrist would or a therapist would to say that. So that's one major difference. So if you're looking for a coach, there are many certification programs and there's really good, amazing coaches, and they'll usually have a reputation. They always have material, they always have structure, and you'll know really quickly if that stuff's in place and if it aligns with what you want to do and who you want to be. And the other thing with picking a coach is obviously, personality types and intent, like you said, or again, you can feel and see that up front.
So who would look for a coach? I know that probably seems again by like a really lame question, but
No, that's actually, I get asked that all the time. That's a really good question.
who is looking for a coach? And I know you kind of described, what to look for, but maybe there's some people that don't realize they need a coach, or maybe there's some people that are looking for a coach. Who are those type of people that are looking for a life coach? Where does that fit?
I identified that as people say, "Who do you work with?" And I say, "Well, I work with people that are motivated but frustrated." Does that make sense? Because that's a space where a coach is helpful, is that you're motivated but frustrated. If you're clinically depressed or have serious addiction, like a coach isn't going to be enough. And if you just don't give a crap, there's no point in getting a coach. So I think that's the best way to summarize. Anybody who's motivated but frustrated, who
So what do you do in that scenario when you see, talk to somebody that's maybe not motivated, but they're like, yeah, I need to change, but
I don't work with them. I'm very, I don't even make an option. I just tell them, I'm like, you're really not. I've started with clients and I've given them their money back because that was early. Now I don't work with a client unless it is obvious that they're motivated, where it's, they can't wait for the next time we connect. They can't wait for, so that's how, I guess that's the answer to that question.
yeah, no, that answers it perfect.
Yeah.
So, and I want to jump into the Kingdom Organizer because I'd actually like to spend a majority of our time on that if we can. But
Yeah.
before we jump into that, would you say that the Kingdom Organizer, did the Kingdom Organizer come first or did the Tribe come first?
The tribe came first. Yeah, the Tribe of Kings, the men's organization, it came first. And while that, after that had started, the organizer came into creation through the founder.
Gotcha. Okay. So give us a 50-foot view of the Tribe of Kings and what it is and the purpose,
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
then let's jump into the Kingdom Organizer.
Yeah, absolutely. So, one thing that's in front of all our faces, but has been subtly done, is masculinity has been attacked, like full frontal attack and quiet attack. And And when I say that, what I mean is, you know, men throughout history have either used their power and strength for good or for evil. And the narrative that's now kind of being pushed is that masculinity in general is toxic and it's evil and it's oppressive. And there's a lot of reasons why people would say that. There's been a lot of horrible experiences that women and children and even other men have experienced, what, you know, some would call toxic masculinity, where that strength and that force has been used in a selfish way and in a way to destroy and consume instead of create and support. And so what's happened is over time, the woman's movement and all that has been really great for giving women opportunity, but in some ways the pendulum swung too far, almost like our politics have, where it's really not about working with someone. It's about destroying. The only way this side wins is if the other side is destroyed.
Do you feel like when you make that statement, have you had anybody that's offended by that of saying, Oh, yeah. It's not under attack? And
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It happens a lot. And it's okay that people get offended by it. I don't really mind, because the truth of the matter is it is happening. It is. And again, I also acknowledge the reasons why it's happening. If I were a female and I grew up in a home where my dad was brutal, you know, even abusive, my context to that was, I would want that, in that version of masculinity, I would want it to be destroyed. In fact, my personality would actively destroy it. So when someone's offended by that, or their stance is masculinity is bad, I don't discredit why they may feel that way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like I get it. I mean, I spent 3 years at a residential treatment facility and I worked on a girls unit. I watched, and I've seen throughout my life, the destructive nature of masculinity when it's used the wrong way. Like, it is real and it is horrible.
But does masculinity only, and I know we've talked about this offline, we actually talked about it last night, but does masculinity automatically get tied into men? Does masculinity exist with women? I mean, does it ever get crossed over? Is that a label?
Just like femininity?
Yeah.
Absolutely, women can work to be masculine, just like a man can work to be feminine.
Yeah.
The thing is, those two things were meant to intertwine in a powerful way, not be walls that run into each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's the saddest thing about it, is those two things combined is the culmination of the human experience. And they've been now created that they can't coexist. They have to, you know, you have to, it's interesting. One has to be destroyed for the other one to exist. You know, it's like, and the way that the society is trying to combine it right now is not the actual way it was meant to be combined. Like, you know, women that are super strong, but then they get dolled up. Like, that's how society, you know, they look pretty in a dress, but then they'll kick your butt in the MMA fighting ring. Like, you know, that's not how those two things were meant to coexist.
Yeah.
You know, they were meant to coexist very differently than they're portrayed at this time. And this is funny, but this offends people. And we talked about it last night that, you know, a man goes out to work, works his butt off, and comes home, and his wife has, you know, taken good care of the home and dinner's ready, and they sit down together with their children and talk about the day. The sad thing is, everybody on the inside would love to have that experience. But if you say that now, it does offend people. You know, the fact that dinner's ready when the husband gets home, that like triggers things. It's like, but
no, I can see that. I can see just the controversy that would be sparked by that.
Yeah. Just like, you can't even say that now. You can't even say that in conservative settings without people prickling up. And
well, and I'm even sitting here in the back of my mind going, this is going to create outlash.
Yeah. And it's funny, because think about it. Have you ever seen that scenario when there's a good, hardworking, honest dad who goes out to work and comes home, and a good, honest, hardworking woman who has, you know, a home that's structured and has a good feeling in it and cooks for the family? Have you ever had someone in the scenario go slam their fork down and go, this sucks? I hate that my dad's hardworking and provides for our family. And I hate that my mom's home with me and that has made us dinner. Have you ever in your life heard someone go, this is jacked up, I can't believe we're doing this?
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Yeah.
Just like kids who, it's like parents who say, Well, it's just like everybody who says, well, mom shouldn't be forced to be at home. It's like, well, no, they shouldn't be forced to be at home, and women have a choice. But I'll tell you what, I've never heard a kid complain that his mom's home when he comes home from school, or she comes home from school and mom's there waiting for him. Have you ever heard a kid say, oh, that was the worst? I hated it when mom was home waiting for me when I got home from school.
Yeah.
And yet, if you say, hey, you know, you might want to consider creating a situation where mom can be there for the kids and nurture them. And again, it makes people prickle. And that's just proof that this message has, it's in our faces. Nobody would complain. Anybody that's been in that situation would say it was awesome. And yet we get way sensitive when it's brought up.
So where does that, and not to go too far on a tangent on this, but where does it cross over from fact to perception or vice versa? You know what I'm saying? Because don't a lot of people look at this and they just go, okay, that's perception, instead of like, that's the way that it is, you know?
Ty, the thing is, there is a point. I think that's funny when people, I'm always intrigued when people start saying things are perception versus truth, because you can slap perception on anything, but at some point, it's really interesting because I've noticed most people that will use that argument of perception versus reality usually have high demands towards other people, which means they have truths.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the truth that you can't say something is true, it's just perception. Now you've just stated something that you call a truth. Right? Yeah. It's like the person who says, wow, don't judge me. It's like, well, you just judge me that I'm judgmental. You have no idea what my head's going on. Like, that is the sadistic, underlying, destructive thought patterns that have caused most of this.
Yeah.
You know, anybody who demands that things are perceptive, they've just stated a truth. It's like, okay, so is that truth or is that your perception?
Right.
And it's a rabbit hole. It never ends.
Yep.
So there's research, there's things that prove a lot of this stuff. And then there just needs to get to a point where everybody has to decide, is this thing true or not? And if you have no truths and you only live in a world of perceptions, then again, those are just, you live in a rabbit hole. You aren't standing on anything.
Well, and that, and kind of going back to the tribe is obviously, you get to make a decision on what works for you. And then the tribe was obviously created as a resource, right?
Yeah. What we noticed is you would not believe how many men come in and we say, hey, you know, you have the ability to choose and be strong and be good. And, you know, you have your first kingdom, which is just you and divinity, and nobody else should be in that. You would be floored how many men come in and go, wait, I have a choice. I've been taught that I'm supposed to tuck my tail and do what I'm told.
Yeah.
And, you know, and these men are just beaten down. And ironically, if you talk to their wives, and I see this in coaching, I literally had a wife tell me, my husband, I would tell him something, he'd shut down. So I'd keep saying it because I thought he was so stupid, he didn't understand what I was saying. And it's like, if he would have just stood up and said, yes, I understand what you're saying, I don't agree with it, and I'm not going to do it, but I love and support you. Ironically, I've had these, it's sad because a woman who has a man in her life who's not willing to be strong, the poor woman's stuck. Because now it's like, well, I have to keep telling him because he doesn't get it. And when he does stand up, sadly, a lot of times the woman will argue and then just destroy him and squash him back down and go, why isn't my man a man?
Right.
You know, and that's where, see, that's the opposite of femininity and masculinity combining.
See, and that's a good point because, that balances it out because,
like a real masculine man will listen to his woman. Like he'll listen and he'll hear what she's saying. And if what she's saying, you know, he doesn't even have to agree with it, but he will hear it and he will acknowledge it. But it doesn't mean that everything she says goes. Just like the other way around. Just because a man says something doesn't mean that's the way it goes.
Correct.
You know, but his wife or his woman in his life will hear him and consider it and think about it. And if it isn't the best idea, she has the strength and the courage and the ability to go, you know what? I appreciate what you said, but here's my thought on that.
Right.
And then now those two things are in unison and now both are powerful. And again, this isn't one has to lose for the other one to win. No, this is both win. Both are strong.
Yeah. So how does the tribe play into that? And then ultimately, the organizer obviously kind of breaks that down even further, right?
Absolutely. Well, the way the tribe plays into it is just reminding men that they can be good and honest and strong. And yeah. Because what men do, as soon as they forget that, they isolate and then they consume.
Yeah.
Or we have so many men and boys that are sitting in basements playing video games that are, you know, overweight and that are just unmotivated to do things is because they isolate out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is they get attacked sometimes if they stand up. But the reality is a good man who stands up for himself and what's right and isn't aggressive but is just assertive,
yeah,
that man doesn't face a ton of opposition, honestly. And when he does, he can handle it, because if somebody is opposing that, then they're off.
Well, and I think it gives other people the tools to interact with you. If you're able to set those boundaries and be honest with how you feel and where you stand, right or wrong, it's not a matter of, oh, I feel this way and, oh, but wait, I'm wrong. It's a matter of, this is where I stand. And it may even be temporary. I mean, I feel like most stuff is temporary, but you can take a stand of here's where I'm at right now. I'm still a progressing human being.
Yep.
This is how I feel right now. Please tell me why I should feel different. I'm open to input, but this is where I stand right now. And this is the reason why.
You know what, Ty, is the saddest thing? Masculinity in its purest form actually creates a space for everyone else to be the best version of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Masculinity is what is supposed to be used to protect that space. Because, and I've seen this, I've seen my own father walk in a room, and if somebody in there has decided to abuse the situation or abuse their power, I've watched my own father go, hey, you're done talking. And everyone else in the room is like, thank you. Thank you. And that manly masculinity is protecting everyone else and providing a space for them to be themselves, to be open. And yet it still provides structure, right?
Like
you get outside of these lines, and that's what a dad should do at home. It's like, listen, sweetie, if you're going to keep running in the street where there's traffic, I am going to make sure you understand that is not okay.
Yeah.
Because if I just sit back, you're going to get hit by a car and die.
Right.
You know,
that's a good point.
That's when masculinity and our strength and our size is meant to be used for good, is to create and protect the space where others can be themselves.
Yeah.
But it's
a great point.
But we know it gets used and abused. That doesn't mean it's bad. It just means it's used and abused, just like anything else. Just like a woman with her body. There's nothing more amazing than the female body. There's nothing more beautiful or, you know, and we know it can be used for good and it can be used for bad. It's no different than a man's strength.
Right. So how does the tribe facilitate that? And I mean, I already know the answer to this, but
the short answer to that.
Yeah.
What the tribe does is it allows men to get in groups of 6 to 8 men once a week, or every other week, with a table captain, and they get the opportunity to together be vulnerable and to be strong, when vulnerability is one of the greatest strengths someone can have, where the men can discuss the stuff that's going on in their life and they can be open about it. And then they're also open to the feedback they'll get from the other men in the group. So similar to a really healthy mastermind group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the tribe does. First and foremost, it gives and creates camaraderie between men and gives them a space where they can be genuine and authentic, you know. And then the second thing is the tribe also, we know it's our responsibility as men is to, you know, protect and help those that are weak. So one of the missions of the company is to eradicate domestic abuse among our members, where we hold each other accountable. We make sure that abuse is not taking place. And then the final mission, and this goes right into the five kingdoms, is to help men magnify and have order in their kingdoms. In other words, all the different relationships they have in their lives and the responsibilities that they have. And so the tribe facilitates that through those group meetings. And we have, you know, like tonight, we have a tribal feast where we all get together and eat. But the focus remains on keeping balance and magnifying those five kingdoms. So we network with each other. We support each other. And we're honest and open about being good and doing what's right. And it's really interesting when guys come in with toxic masculinity, or they come in with perverted versions of things or things that are inappropriate. It's real interesting. Not a lot has to be said. Those guys will kind of, they get awkward and uncomfortable because it doesn't fit in this space. Like if a guy starts bagging on his wife, I've never heard anybody full on just blame their wife for everything. I've heard really healthy conversations about recreating boundaries and expectations towards a spouse, but it is never a wife bashing session. And the moment it turned into that, if it ever did, the men in the organization honor their women in their life, and they wouldn't allow someone else to, you know, start to disrespect or destroy that place.
Well, and the tribe was actually created from the flip side. It was created. Do you want to give that quick story of
the founder's wife actually went to a retreat for women and came back, and she was completely transformed. And he's like, what in the world? So he asked the woman who provided that retreat and facilitated that, he asked her to do one, and some men went. So you're right. The tribe came about from an experience a wife had at a woman's retreat.
Yeah.
And it also came from the fact that the founder, even though he has 500,000 followers, most of which are women, he didn't have any serious male friends in his life. And men need male friends.
Yeah.
So that was the other reason it was created.
That's awesome. So let's dive into the Kingdom Organizer. Kind of, which I'm sure you can do, give us the gist or the basic overview, and then let's maybe dive into some of it and how people can apply it to what they're doing. Maybe give some steps or things that people can do right now as they're listening to this.
Yeah, absolutely. The Kingdom Organizer came from the founder. He doesn't even remember. It was a dream or a vision or what, but he saw these five concentric circles, you know, the circles around each other. Mm-hmm. And the middle circle represented the most important relationship, and it's the first kingdom, and that's an individual's relationship with divinity, God, the higher power in their life. Mm-hmm. And that particular space is only meant for two. It's no one else is allowed in there, and it's only for those two people. That, you know, even your spouse or your best friend, they don't have space in there. They shouldn't have space in there. That's where an individual owns themselves and owns their relationship with divinity.
Real quick on that subject, just because, again, I don't know, but it seems like it's becoming more popular.
Yeah.
Are you running into people that are agnostic would be the word, right?
You know, what's interesting, even atheists, we had an atheist that when he saw this, he's like, well, I don't believe in anything. And we just asked and said, well, so you don't think there's any higher power at all that brings order or structure? And he's like, well, I believe there's something. And it's like, well, then that's all it is.
Yeah, that's all it is. Okay.
You rarely meet someone who thinks there's nothing else. You know, and agnostic is the right word, but it's interesting, even someone who's agnostic has, you know, usually there's something they're having faith in. There's something they're relying on. There's something
they
believe is above and beyond just the mortals that are on this earth.
I wonder that because, I just wonder if someone, you know, is listening to this or they look at that and they go, oh, well, that's the core and that doesn't even apply to me, you know?
Yeah. And you know what we tell too, if we come across somebody like that, our statement always is, well, we love you. We want the best for you. But then this probably isn't going to support you if you feel like that is a part of your life. You know, it's kind of like if somebody wants to play basketball, there's not a lot you can do with a baseball bat.
Correct.
So, and that's okay. That doesn't mean you suck because you play basketball.
It just means
we provide a baseball bat and show you how to use it, and you don't need it or feel like you need it. And that's okay. You still matter as much as I do.
Yeah.
So, and that's what's been really nice about this. We haven't had to push this really hard. We just present it, and then those that it draws and is sticky to, they just come. So,
well, and to the topic that we've talked about, I mean, this, it's been interesting to me because would you say that it was designed more of masculinity in mind because of the tribe and the background behind it, or
you know,
no?
And it really was. It was created by a man who wanted to make sure masculinity was clear. But you know what's interesting about it? This is what he came to, that these truths for an individual is what's going to allow a man to be his best self. Well, the more we looked at it, and then our wives started looking at it, they're like, well, I want that. Because, again, both are powerful, both matter equally, and so it only makes sense that the same truths that would make a man the fullest version of himself when it comes to his relationships and clarity around his intentions and all that is going to be the same for a woman. That a woman matters as much as a man, and that her relationship with divinity is as equal. So I'll give you an example. The other day, one of our founders, the wife and the husband were in a discussion, and the wife says, wait a minute, you're trying to step into my first kingdom. And he goes, oh my gosh, you're right. I am sorry. And he stopped. He was like, you're right. Like, you have the right to your first kingdom. I am not your God. And because
that's powerful,
that,
yeah.
You know what's cool is think of how powerful that is in a relationship when the wife knows that her man respects and honors her first kingdom as much as his own.
Well, and it's also that, which we'll get into, but it's also that clarity of that those lines are there.
Absolutely. And it's so much easier to interact. Like you said it really well earlier, is it's so different and it's so much easier to interact when those things are clear and they're identified.
Well, and that's, I see one of the main things of why the kingdom organizer is so powerful is because it does clarify those intentions. And I'm just looking at my kingdom planner right now. It kind of goes back and you can apply it to exercise, business, you know, whatever it is. It's like, how can you get to where you want to go if you don't even know where that is? I mean, it's daily, it's hourly. It's, you know, I look at even my days, and I have days where I'm like, oh man, that was just not a good day. Well, the reason why, you know, as I look at the kingdom organizer, the reason why it wasn't a good day is because I didn't, for one, clarify what I was trying to accomplish in that day. And so regardless of what I did, it was never going to be good enough, because what was I even shooting for? Like, what was my intention for that day?
You know, that reminds me of something I love. And when it comes to questions, what's the difference between the ones we allow and the ones we create? And you just have identified that in our life. What's the difference between a life that's allowed and one that's created?
Yeah.
And when we say allowed, we mean just that, like what just surfaces up, right? You know, because our lives, things are always surfacing up. And we usually call that just putting out fires. That's how we usually describe that type of life.
Yep. Well, and that's how I, you know, it's interesting enough, you know, I'm looking at the kingdom organizer right now, but I describe that as chaotic.
Yeah. Well, and I'm glad you said that. That's so outside of the five kingdoms, we teach that outside of the kingdoms, that's all there is chaos.
And you so know, sorry, really, and I took you off subject, but
yeah. You know, what's really interesting too, is it's really intriguing when I speak to groups or individuals and I ask the question, what role is chaos playing in your life right now?
Yeah.
And almost always people just laugh and say, it is my life.
Right. I would say the majority of people, I mean, how can it not be?
Amen. There's so many things that if you're not intentional, and you know, that kind of goes hand in hand with masculinity too. Society's changed so much that for a boy to be a really good man, a real healthy, balanced, good man who's okay with himself and uses his strength for good, he has to choose that. It doesn't just produce it anymore. Right. You know, we used to have farms. There was so many physical, structural, good, pure things that had to be done to keep a farm going, that a boy raised on a farm was exposed to that structure and that hard work and that mentality and that goodness, that boy would become a man through his life experience. But now that has all flipped. And a boy now, to become a really balanced, good man, has to be intentional, has to be shown the path, because his life will not lead that. Even they've done studies on this. Public schools and schooling in general is not conducive to a little boy. You know, sit down and hold still for 8 hours, and you're bad if you act out or you talk, you know, don't. It's just like everything that allows a boy to just feel his masculinity and learn and use that power to be protective and all that, that's all squashed. And so, again, it has to be chosen now because it doesn't naturally happen. Most of our jobs as men aren't really physical jobs, you know, which doesn't mean we don't produce. We don't still go out and kill, but it looks different now. You know, you're in dress slacks and nice shoes and you're trying to sell something. And again, that's kind of like hunting, but it is not the same as being up the mountain in the air with some boots on and a rifle in your hand and then cleaning the animal and carrying it home and, you know, watching your family eat it. Those are not the same experience.
Yeah. So based on, well, and kind of going back. So, and I don't know if you covered this. Kingdom one is divinity.
Yeah.
Kingdom two. Yep. Did you go into that already? Sorry.
No, I had a good question about that. So kingdom two is your family, your close family and personal relationships. And people ask sometimes, well, does it have to be a family member for someone to be in kingdom two? And the answer is no. In fact, one statement we make is that just because someone's blood doesn't mean they're family.
And well, and that's my first thought that comes to my mind when I look at that.
Yeah, kingdom two is the people in your lives that you have an intimate relationship with, that it's more than friends. You know, we talked about that a little bit last night about the difference between a friend and family. And family gets priority. Family should be the main focus. Friends will always get your love and your time. But if family has needs, you know, a good example is I was talking to a friend the other day. And we were having a great discussion. He said, you know what? I have a scheduled date with my daughter right now. So this conversation's amazing, but that's my priority. And so we'll have to talk later. And, you know, like we said last night, when somebody does that, you're never offended.
Right.
When somebody's living the order of the kingdoms and you're an associate, you're never offended when their friend or their family member or their divinity is given priority. You know,
no, and when somebody drops that family phrase, regardless what setting it's in, it's just kind of like, okay, I get it.
Yep.
Go. It's just an automatic trigger.
It's an automatic thing, and it's respected. And then what happens is when somebody is an associate or a friend and they honor and respect your decisions around those people pretty quickly move into family. Mm-hmm. You know, that's who you want as family, the person who's not offended when you have your life in order, the one who's not competing and comparing with you. That's who's your family. That's who fits in that second space. That's the one that can see you and be with you in your ugly and still there when it's, you know, and supportive when it's there. That's the person you can get in a fight with and later say, hey, sorry about that. You know, we both know we don't want that. Those people move into kingdom two.
Well, and it goes back to that common theme we've been talking about. It's interesting, even if there's people that should be in that kingdom too, or that want to be in that kingdom too, that may be a struggle if the intention isn't made clear.
Absolutely.
Of which circle they're in. And they may want to come in and you may even want them in that circle, but they don't know how to get in there because you haven't made your intentions clear.
That's right. And the beautiful thing about that is when you're clear on what your expectations and intentions are around your kingdoms, then you can easily invite them to be a part of it because now they know what to do.
Yep.
And or invite them out of it. So so kingdom three is friends. And the same, it has expectations. Kingdom four is associates. People, that's people you work with or part of an organization with. So any kind of structural, you know, and by the way, a family is a structure. It's an organization. Correct. So that's why you can have family members that are in kingdom four. You know, it's like, I don't want to spend time with you, but we're in the same family structure. So I'll, you know, be respectful. And when we're together because of that structure, that's fine. But I'm not necessarily going to call you.
Right. So it'd be equivalent of more of an acquaintance. Or would you say kingdom five, which is the world, would be more of an acquaintance?
Kingdom five. Kind of the acquaintance, like, you know, we're neighbors, but we don't have any groups that are in common.
Gotcha.
Family members, but we live in the same neighborhood. That's society. That's
somebody I went to high school with that I haven't seen.
Somebody I follow maybe on Instagram, but they have no idea who I am, right? Like, that's five.
So maybe that's the core of the problem. We have too many, there is no intentions.
Yeah, kingdom five has become the biggest kingdom. It's the one that's getting the majority of people's time, and it should be the last thing that gets their time.
Yeah. No, that's insightful. I mean, I'm just sitting there thinking about it now. I'm like, yeah, we probably have too many acquaintances that, like you said, take too much of our time, but we haven't even clarified that that's what they are. I mean, especially through making every connection you can on social media. And I mean, what are those people? And clarify what they are.
You know, it's funny. I actually know a young man who's recently married, and they looked at his phone time. He spends 6 to 8 hours a day on social media.
Oh yeah, they said the average kid, I was saw a thing yesterday that's 9 hours in front of a screen.
Yeah, so you're right. That's them Kingdom Five, right? Like they don't have actual interactions with what's on the screen.
You know what I'm gonna do? This will just solve the problem, kid. I'm gonna go on Facebook. I'm gonna create my groups and just start dropping people in and sending them a message. You have been added to Kingdom Three,
Dude, seriously,
friend.
I
You've been added. Can you imagine that? People are like, what? I just got downgraded.
You know what's funny is if you had in each one of those kingdoms your expectations clearly drawn out,
Right.
it would actually be a really powerful experience. You would
Right.
find out really quick, you know. And truthfully, that's one thing when I consult and coach, that's one thing I invite people to do. And with the Kingdom Organizer Company, one of the positions you can have in the company is to be a trainer, a certified trainer. And the basic level that a certified trainer can provide for someone else is a kingdom audit, you know, an opportunity to sit down and actually do what you just said and say, okay, what are the expectations in my kingdom? And who are the individuals that are in those kingdoms and who needs to be moved? And that's a really powerful thing to do with an individual. It's even more powerful and more difficult to do it with a couple. Because it's funny to watch who thinks should be in the family's kingdom. And that's the thing is we do it as a family, right? Who's in our kingdom too? But that's where it gets difficult because you may feel one thing about your mother-in-law, and you're obviously your wife's going to feel something different. And you have different people. You may want mother-in-law in Kingdom Five, and she may want her in Kingdom One, and that actually happens a lot.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, in fact, one of the big the two places where Kingdom One gets invaded by others the most that we're seeing is in a marriage or in a mother-daughter relationship. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen in other relationships, mother-son, father-daughter, doesn't mean. But as we speak to people, when we bring up Kingdom One and the clarity in it, it's surprising sometimes how often we see that a husband or a wife is trying to be in Kingdom One or has been put in Kingdom One or the mother-daughter relationship. That's been interesting how often that's been brought up.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, and you can see some reasons why. And sadly, it happens sometimes because of the strengths of a mother, the nurturing, loving, supportive strength. It's really easy to want to put them in that first kingdom so they
Yeah.
feel scared.
Well,
So
and it's an emotional thing as well.
yeah, absolutely. So
Okay, so Kingdom Three's friends, Kingdom Four is associates, Kingdom Five is the world. And then outside of that I'm looking at it, like you said, is chaos.
yeah, it's chaos.
And how important is it for people to clarify with these people of what kingdom they're in? I mean, is that part of it? Of
Yeah,
saying,
when you say how important it is, it's just to whatever level of clarity and fulfillment you want to experience, it's going to be completely correlated to your ability to identify these things and make decisions around it.
Gotcha.
So I'll say that again. The clarity and the fulfillment you want to experience in your life is going to be directly correlated to your understanding of these kingdoms and the choices that you make around them.
That's well put, yeah. Okay, so now that we have that, like the overall structure set, now let's go into the nitty-gritty of. So I'm looking at it right now, and now it's a matter of organizing it, setting your intentions within those kingdoms, right?
Yeah.
Is it by year, by month, by day, or?
Yep, the way it's structured is you start by considering your year, your next 12 months, getting some clear ideas, goals, and desired outcomes that you want to have over that 12 months, and then just working your way backwards to a monthly piece and then a weekly piece, and then you break it down daily.
So how would this affect, like, most of our listeners are going to be people that are in the marketing, sales, you know, business owners category. How would this affect somebody that, you know, is a young person that's trying to build their career in sales marketing? How do you see this affecting that?
Well, it's interesting you ask that, because right now, you know, I've got three different companies that I'm working with right now, and
we just
have our fifth child, and I have people, and we moved 2 weeks ago. So I have people who ask me all the time, they're like, how are you keeping everything balanced, and how are you being productive in any way with that much? And the answer is, well, when you work in this order from what matters most to what matters least, and you're intentional about it, what happens is the results just come. A young person who's getting started is really tempted to see results quickly. And they may get results, but they don't last. They're flash in the pan, or they're not what they expected. And so what I'd say to somebody who's younger is, if you can implement this type of structure in your life now, you'll actually get ahead way faster than if you focus on just the results.
True.
You know that, Ty. You're somebody who at a young age has been very successful, and because you have put this type of structure and order in your life, and you've created clarity around it.
Yeah.
You've made really hard, good decisions. And now you've even said you like hard things now, because you've made enough good, hard decisions that you know the results of that are always awesome. And so you get to a point where you almost glory in your tribulations, right? You're like, wow, good. I got a hard thing. I know how to approach hard things. This is fun. And for somebody who's young, what you'll find out is a lot of times the ride is more fun than the destination. You know, so you love.
Well, and it is, because to me now, on the flip side, and not that I've gotten to any type of destination, but when you start getting later in your career and in life, you start finding out that the destination's a facade.
Yeah.
The destination is an hourly, daily, monthly thing. It's not an event. You know, this end result. Yeah.
Yeah. Like an event that once it happens, everything's better. And anybody who's married knows that now.
Yep.
Like anybody who graduated college knows that now. Anybody who got their first good job, they know that what you're saying is true. Is the event? There is so much power in going through thresholds, though, and it is a threshold to graduate. It is a threshold to get married. It is a threshold, and now you're standing on the other side of this threshold, which is amazing. But what you find out, there's usually a bigger mountain to climb on the other side, which is fine, but that's the truth.
Yeah. Well, and I think, again, going back to the planner, none of those thresholds, you can't break through, in my opinion, you cannot break through those thresholds without the clarity and without, you know, making those intentions like we're talking about. I think where a lot of people are struggling nowadays, too, is they feel like they can be the soft, easygoing, passive person and still have breakthroughs. And then they're the ones that are having the frustrations, that are having the chaos, because they don't want to make the clear, hard decisions. And I get it. But I can promise you this, at least based on my experience, if you're not willing to be clear on your intentions and set those things and even be willing to communicate with others, you're not going to have breakthroughs. And just get used to the frustration, because it will sit there. And the frustration there is because you haven't been clear.
And the bummer about that is they move from creation to consumption.
Yeah. And it goes back.
Yep.
So I had a mentor earlier on in my career that I always remember. He's like, you know what? I'm not as worried. Well, he said it more blunt than this, but he's like, I don't care if people like me. I care if people respect me.
Yeah.
And same with his kids. He's like, I don't have to be the most popular dad. He said, at the end of the day, I don't even care if they like me. I care if they respect me. And that's always stuck with me, because people don't always follow what they like, but they'll follow what they respect.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back to that masculinity of that structure and that strength. It may not be popular, and I get that. I personally am not popular with a lot of people, but with those same people, they're at least clear. And they're able to navigate in their life because they know where they stand with me.
Well, and you know this, and this might be a good thing to wrap things up with too.
Yeah.
this thought. It's, I have found when I am strong and make good, hard decisions that aren't popular, those same individuals that are frustrated when things get really out of sorts always come to me for help.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me has been one of the proofs in the pudding, I guess, that being strong and being right and standing up for what's right, while all the while being vulnerable and humble and open to others, that is needed. It is powerful, and people do flock to it and need it. And if they don't, there's always reasons for it, and we honor and respect those reasons. But it doesn't make change because of them.
Good point. So how, to end on this, and that's a great thought to end on, how do people get a hold of you? How do they get more information about the organizer? What are the resources there? And I'll put it in the notes of the podcast, but just off the cuff, if somebody's listening and they, you know, want it audibly, what's the best way to get in connection with everything we've talked about today?
Absolutely. So right now, probably the best way to get to learn about this and to get hold of me is to get hold of me personally. And I'll, my email is probably the best way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you have it. It's kade@listener.com. So kade@listner.com. And I check that multiple times a day and stay on top of it. And so that's probably the best way right now. With the Kingdom Organizer, we're so new that the website and thing, after September 10th, the website and the ability to sign up and to be a part of it will all be online. And that's just kingdomorganizer.com. But that's, again, that's after September 10th. So if somebody's listening to this after September 10th, that's the way to do it. And, you know, if they want to be a part of it or do it and just say, you know, Cade and Ty were the reasons I found out about this. We always like to know where people are coming from. And
yeah. So. Cool. All right, man. Well, appreciate your time. You know, I've said this with all my guests, but I'd love to have you back on. Obviously, we just covered the surface, and, you know, I probably got off on some tangents like I normally do that,
no, that
maybe
great.
Took away. But love to have you back on, maybe talk about, you know, more of the nitty gritty on day to day, what that looks like. I know there's some stuff in here that I'd even like to learn more about. So we'll have you back on. But again, appreciate your time. I'll put all your resources in the bottom of the podcast notes so people can get a hold of you. And as always, people can get a hold of me. So have a great day, Cade. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ty.
We'll see you.